WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, Mid-Michigan and beyond? This is Isaac Constance filling in for Al Martin. He is in Orlando, Florida, soaking up the sunshine. Can't really blame him for that one. Same decision a guy who we're going to talk about on the show, Arian Foster, made over in Miami. So we're going to get to that. Also, Denzel Valentine. Man, I don't care that Summer League, that's one of the best played basketball games I've ever seen. It had a comeback, had buzzer beaters. Yes, plural. It had banked in three-pointers right at the crucial moments. It was pretty good. We're going to talk about that and Denzel Valentine's role. I'll also release a guest that we're going to have on in the future days who's got a very specific insight into Denzel Valentine's career with the Chicago Bulls. Don't miss that. Also, Detroit Tigers take their first game against the Minnesota Twins. We'll hit in on that 1-0 victory for the boys out of the D. Then Draymond Green with no plans to change. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, usually you expect some sort of remorse from athletes after they get caught doing something. Not Draymond Green. Very in line with his character, but we'll talk about that, whether that's a good thing or not. Also, Nick Saban, once again, has a lineman or a football player in general arrested, and we'll see what sort of action he brought down. And for Tickle Tuesday, trust me, it's a good Tickle Tuesday. It's got some music involved, and it's going to be a heck of a laugh. So don't miss any of this. Call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we started. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Denzel Valentine came through with a couple of finishes for the NBA Summer League crown. Valentine hit the tying three-point fadeaway in the final second of regulation, then made a turnaround J at the buzzer in overtime to give the Chicago Bulls an 84-82 victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves on Monday night. Valentine went 0-for-6 shooting through three quarters, but you know he turned it around. His three-pointer with 0.2 seconds remaining forced the extra period after Tyus Jones had just given Minnesota a 77-74 lead on a three with 3.6 seconds to go. Next up, Sierra Pryor is going to take this next current sports quick hit headline.
Now, Matt Boyd pitched six scoreless innings to collect his first victory this season, and Justin Upton hit his 200th career homer, leaving the Detroit Tigers beating the Minnesota Twins 1-0 on Monday night at Comerica Park. Making his seventh start, Boyd, who is now 1-2, allowed only three hits and one walk-off while tying his career high with seven strikeouts. Boyd retired the last seven batters he faced and finished with another in the sixth, striking out Miguel Sano, Brian Dozier, after snaring a Joe Mauer line drive.
Perfect. And Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green does not believe he must take a new course in light of recent incidents. Hear this. Green told NBA sources, "Being me has gotten me this far," with a smile Monday at Team USA practice. Green has a pending misdemeanor assault and battery case stemming from a July 10th altercation with now former Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson outside a restaurant in East Lansing. "My attorneys are handling everything," Green said. "Leave it in their hands and I got an opportunity to compete for a gold medal. You don't let any type of distraction get in the way of that. This is not about me. It's not about anybody on this team. It's about going out there and defending our country the right way. So everything else is kind of secondary to that." Sierra?
Now, Arian Foster signed a one-year deal with the Miami Dolphins on Monday night, saying he is starting a new chapter of his life. The deal is worth $1.5 million and includes incentives that could bring a total value to a maximum of $3.5 million, a league source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Foster's agent, Mike McCartney, announced the news Monday afternoon when he tweeted congratulations to the former Houston Texans star. Foster, a four-time Pro Bowler, running back, will join the Dolphins' backfield that is in a flux after Lamar Miller, Miami's leading rusher last season, signed with the Texans. Foster had visited Detroit, but ultimately decided to take his talents to South Beach, one of his favorite players.
Yeah, I can't blame him for that. Johnny Manziel, back in the news once again. He's facing a 4-game suspension for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. If he can even land a contract in the future. While the chances of that seem rather bleak, Manziel is aware of the negative attention that he's brought to Texas A&M. Manziel took to Twitter on Monday night and apologized to the A&M faithful, prompting that he would, quote, make it right.
Now, the long-awaited ACC network will launch by August 2019, according to league sources. The Atlantic Coast Conference and ESPN has agreed to a 20-year deal and rights extension through the 2035-36 academic year, sources said. The ACC also extended its conference grant of its rights deal to 9 years through 2035-36. The conference grant of rights makes it untenable financially for a school to leave, guaranteeing in the 20 years of the deal that the school's media rights, including revenue for all the home games, would remain with the ACC regardless of the school's affiliation.
And Jasmine Hines signs her pro deal. Congratulations, Jasmine. Jasmine will continue her basketball career overseas as the former Michigan State women's basketball center has officially signed a contract to play for Pallacanestro Bellinzona in Switzerland. As the Lansing State Journal reported, Hines said, "I am very excited because this has been a kind of crazy process trying to figure out what is the best fit for me." She also went on to say, "I want to go somewhere that has a good team, but is in a good area as well." Hines, a former Michigan Miss Basketball, averaged 7.5 points and 4.6 rebounds during her MSU career. She averaged 10.9 points and 6.3 rebounds while earning an honorable mention in all Big Ten honors last season. And finally, a group of former Michigan State basketball players came up short in their shot at a big bucket of cash. $2 million. $2 million, yeah, to be exact. The Spartan Heroes were eliminated from the basketball tournament, a debut tourney featuring teams from around the globe and former athletes, which awards the winner with a $2 million grand prize. It's a streetball tournament, really cool. But they were eliminated 97-70 by the Golden Eagles alumni on Sunday in Chicago. Now, the number 3-seeded Spartan Heroes won their opening game 93-84 over number 14 seed Ohio United on Saturday, but they were overpowered by a roster of former Marquette players in the second round. Former Los Angeles Laker Dwight Boyce led all scorers with 27 points. Brandon Wood, who founded the Spartan Heroes, had 23 points in the losing effort. Corey Lucius added 16. The Spartan Heroes were coached by former MSU guard Travis Walton, an assistant with the NBA D-League Salt Lake City Stars. The semifinals and finals will be held on the 31st of July and the finals August 2nd at Fordham University in New York. So those are your current sports quick hit headliners for the day. If you have any comments on any of those or anything else that we're talking about later in the hour, feel free to call in, share your mind, 517-355-9527, 517-355-WKR. I'm your host, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. Hey, let's start the show.
To inbound has Felicio for the tie. Valentine!
Yes! Are you kidding me?
With .2 to go, Sparty in the house.
Mom and Pop are loving it. This guy laying in the weeds all game long.
With 7 on the shot clock, off the Portis screen, Clark switches on to Valentine. Lost his balance, got it off.
He did it!
You're tied!
And the game!
Happy Valentine's Day in Vegas! Wow!
Denzel! Don't call me Billy Ray!
This is wild!
for the win, Chicago at the buzzer. Valentine wins it.
Playing 7 games in 10 days is nuts. I've never experienced this before. Something I have to get used to. Didn't have a good game, but I have a great team. You know, we've been consistent all tournament, all summer league, and they held it down throughout the whole game. And my coaches went to me for the big shots, and I just shot them with confidence.
I want to ask you, what was better, the two buzzer beaters you hit tonight or the one that beat Ohio State back in 2015 on Valentine's Day?
That's hard. I mean, the one on Valentine's Day was huge because it was Valentine's Day. It was in front of the Breslin, but this one was for a championship. So probably this one, but the one on Valentine's Day is coming just a little close to it.
Hey, folks, he's coming out into the NBA. Denzel Valentine making the biggest shot of his life, according to him, most likely. And boy, what a game we had last night. 84-82, Chicago Bulls versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. But I gotta say, that's not the best shot he hit. I mean, maybe the two combined, but compare that to against Ohio State, a game that actually mattered. This is Summer League. But you know what? We're going to get obsessed with Summer League for the first part of this show because, you know what? It's the middle of the summer. There's not too much to talk about. And Denzel Valentine really does look to be bringing the exact same qualities which made him so fierce, so formidable with Michigan State. He's taking them with him to the pros. He packed suitcases worth, folks. Suitcases. And Denzel was outstanding down the stretch of last night. This is a guy who started 0 of 6 through 3 quarters. He was terrible. I mean, not to put it lightly whatsoever, but he was bad. And I know this is a guy who contributes with other facets of his game besides just his shooting, but the Bulls brought him in for shooting. They've got a good defensive backcourt with Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, and Jimmy Butler. No problems whatsoever on that score. None of those guys can shoot, though, except Jimmy Butler, who can a little bit. But Denzel Valentine can shoot. And this summer league, it hadn't looked like it quite as much as the Bulls might have hoped. Maybe some Bulls fans were getting a little worried with his 35% field goal shooting. 25.5% from three-point range. Yeah, neither of those are that nice. But the thing is, the Bulls were 7-0 in summer league. They didn't lose a single game. And the T-Wolves had Summer League MVP, Tyus Jones, on the roster. Tyus Jones, somebody who my friends and I actually would be like, huh, he's an NBA player? Really? Well, I was wrong. Tyus was awesome throughout this tournament. And you know what? That includes last night as he hit a deep three at the end of the fourth quarter. Believe the quarters are only 10 minutes in summer league. But Tyus, shot clock was winding down. You know, it's at 6, it's at 5, it's at 4. And that's the game clock, in fact. The shot clock preluded that just a little bit. And Tyus is backing up away from a double team. He's got an open man, but he's not passing it. He takes a three-point shot from close to 30 feet and hits nothing but the net. That's how clutch this kid was last night. That's how good he was throughout the tournament. He finished with 27 points last night and 10 assists, 7 turnovers. But he had to put this team on his back. Also on the Timberwolves with a big game was Adrian Payne. 22 points, 16 rebounds for the former Spartan Green. And Payne also just showed an outside touch. He was aggressive. He kept on going up. Actually, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. 5 of 7 from the free throw line. And this is a guy struggling to make it in the NBA, but he made a pretty good case for himself last night. That Timberwolves team, as much as any, will be tough to get into with Tom Thibodeau as the new coach, demanding hard work, much like a Tom Izzo. And maybe that's why Adrian Payne can finally find his mold to fit into, to squeeze into in the NBA. He sure impressed the coach last night, although Tom Thibodeau wasn't cracking a smile quite conspicuously, even after the best moments. I mean, he must have been at least somewhat happy with what he saw. But, you know, not as happy as Fred Hoiberg. Fred Hoiberg saw a few former draft picks and a current star in the making, possibly in Denzel Valentine, take his team to the Summer League Championship. Jerian Grant, before I go on to Denzel Valentine, Jerian Grant, man acquired through the Derrick Rose trade, looked like a little bit of a D-Rose himself last night because Jerian Grant is not a three-point shooter, 2 of 8, much like Derrick Rose. He is athletic and is a scorer, much like Derrick Rose, and much like Derrick Rose would have done. He finished with 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. Very nice outing from that man. Also, Bobby Portis, draft pick first round last year of the Chicago Bulls, 26 points, 10 rebounds. That coming off a game where he actually got 16 points, 9 rebounds against Cleveland and Kay Felder to get to this point in the tournament. Bobby Portis is a beast. You talk about big men that can shoot. This guy's got, 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. But as well as all of those guys played, when the spotlight was on, it came down to one man. One man who was 0 of 6, as I mentioned, from the field in the first 3 quarters of that game. And a man who was the 14th overall pick in the draft after concerns about his knees and how healthy they were, being compared to Brandon Roy. For goodness sake. And that man is Denzel Valentine. Lansing Sexton product. Played all 4 years at Michigan State University. Exiting with a household's worth of AP and other Player of the Year awards. Becoming the first ever player actually to win AP Player of the Year from Michigan State. And Denzel Valentine found his way into the lottery. Onto a team 4 hours away. Where his parents, who you saw in the crowd, could watch him. And he was phenomenal down the stretch. This was someone who just kept turning the ball over, making bad decisions, making bad plays flat out in the first 3 quarters. And then the 4th quarter and overtime come, and Denzel Valentine finished that game 3 of 10. He was 0 of 6 to start it. 3 of 4 in the 4th quarter plus overtime. 7 points all in the 4th quarter and overtime. And big shots, 2 buzzer beaters to be precise. On the first, Denzel Valentine demands the ball. You could see he wanted it. They passed it to Christian Felicio, and they needed a 3 to tie it up. And Felicio was actually, I believe, within the 3-point line. So you know somebody was going to have to come and get it with just 3.6 seconds remaining. Valentine did that, got it off in time, fell down while shooting, and hit the buzzer beater. 0.2 seconds left on the clock for Valentine. That was it. Game of close margins, and he nailed it. Walked back. You saw his dad, Carlton, pointing to him. Really just proud of his son, and rightfully so. And Denzel Valentine walked away with a mean mug. He was smug. He was happy, and he was confident because there was one more period to play. And Denzel Valentine knew that it wasn't the first 3 quarters that made you. It was the last quarter and the last few. And that's what he did. He waited till overtime, waited towards the 4th quarter. And gosh, it really paid off for this Bulls team. Denzel Valentine with a jump shot with 1 second remaining. And as the shot left his hands, the clock ticked off until there was 0.0 on the shot clock. And Denzel Valentine finished with 7 points. He pivoted to his left, pivoted to his right, blanketed by defense, nowhere to go, and Valentine dropped it. So, Denzel Valentine, at the end of the day, he just won games. And this is something which we saw at Michigan State, and I hope he can carry it over to the NBA, because it's always fun to watch a college player who's able to just win, who's maybe undersized, maybe a little bit less athletic, maybe whatever, but an underdog in every aspect, lowly recruited, And you know what? They find a way to win. And that's what Denzel Valentine does, even after a poor shooting performance throughout most of that game. He was terrific. And he was also just matching what everybody on the Timberwolves was doing. I mentioned the Tyus Jones shot. That wasn't it. Xavier Silas hit a banked-in three with 11.7 seconds left in overtime to tie it up. So it's not as if Valentine had all the momentum on his side. In fact, he couldn't have been in a worse position, both in terms of the form, where he was confined to, where he had to force up a shot from for both of those, and he just found a way to get them to go. So outstanding game right there by Denzel Valentine, by the Chicago Bulls. If you've got a comment on that game in particular, or anything else coming up later this hour in the show, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I'm your host, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. And actually, his teammates really responded as well. Denzel Valentine was the first player on the court to grab the Summer League trophy, as you saw. Dwayne Wade also tweeted after the game, Denzel Valentine's new teammate. Okay, Valentine, I see you, kid. I like that. A little bit of pre-bonding before the season starts. Nothing wrong with that. Some familial love. And the thing is, Valentine needed this because his position, especially following a poor summer league display, at least from the scoring side, was arguably in jeopardy. The Bulls already have five wings on the roster, all capable of starting for most NBA teams. That's Jerian Grant, who you can make a debate for there, and Denzel Valentine. But the clear three established stars of this league, Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler, and Dwayne Wade, they kind of stole the thunder from Denzel. Nobody thought going into the draft that once Denzel was drafted, he would take anything less than a sixth man role. And now that seems almost impossible with the lineup that this Chicago Bulls team has assembled via free agency. Dwayne Wade, obviously one of the best shooting guards, in my opinion, the third best ever to play. Then you've got Rajon Rondo, who's seems quite dedicated to the team, actually. I heard an interview with him on ESPN where he was saying that despite coach problems, he wouldn't have came to Chicago if not for Fred Hoiberg. He loves the style of play. He hopes to bring a little bit of defensive vitality and energy into that roster and that lineup. And then Jimmy Butler, the ultimate underdog story, speaking of that late draft pick out of Marquette, used to be homeless, and somebody who just made his mark in the NBA by working hard and eventually ascending to the throne and taking over once his name was called, once Derrick Rose was injured. And Denzel Valentine only thought he'd have to compete with Butler for playing time. Well, obviously he was wrong. But it shows with this that Valentine will be able to learn under the others. He's well-liked by his teammates, it seems like. And most importantly, he's a shooter, and he's clutch. When the Bulls need offense, I'm not so sure that they won't turn the reins to Valentine instead of Rajon Rondo, somebody with no jump shot whatsoever, somebody who's been plagued by that throughout his career. Rajon Rondo, a guy who really, I don't know what his career three-point average is, but his only problem is that his effectiveness was limited because he was just no threat. Defenses would sag off, much like they do a Tum-Tum Nairn Jr., that they can just give him space because they know they're not threats. Then the speed is negated. That doesn't matter anymore. You don't have an advantage there if they're backed up 5 or 6 feet. And then your passing lanes, too, are cut off because the guy's back more, defending the basket, protecting from those backdoor cuts. Rajon Rondo, I'm looking at it, too, now. He's got 29% free or career three-point percentage, 60% career free throw percentage, and that has actually dwindled over time. So definitely not looking too good for the Bulls on the shooting front, and that's something which Valentine will add to. You see again and again, Valentine pulling up, hitting big shots. He did against Cleveland when he banked in that three to start an 8-0 run to help his team win that game. he does it again tonight. So if you call in 517-355-9527, we will take all your opinions on Denzel Valentine, what he means to this Bulls roster. In the meantime, I want to bring in Seth Kinker, our engineer, the guy taking over my job just because I only have two hands. It would be hard to both host and engineer. So, Seth, you and I were actually texting during the game. You texted me, I think, dude, please tell me you're watching this or something like that. That's one of the best basketball games I've seen, notwithstanding that it was a summer league game.
It was incredible. You know, I'd resigned myself to the fact that baseball was going to be the only thing on TV for a while. And then they started putting these summer league games on TV on ESPN2 kind of late night. And usually I thought they'd be restricted to that NBA TV package. And like you said, last night was just incredible to watch. I mean, that had more, like, better game ending shots than you'll see in, like, the first quarter of the NBA regular season.
Yeah, really did. Anybody who impressed you outside of Denzel Valentine, or did Denzel impress you? Did you kind of expect that, or was it something where Valentine had a bad enough game so that, yeah, those two shots were great, but at the end of the day, you got to look at the big picture?
I mean, yeah, you got to be kind of a little bit reserved, but throughout the summer league, like you mentioned, he hasn't been able to score, but he's shown that he can do what that team needs. They need him to board. They need him to be able to distribute the ball to those other shooters. I know Rajon Rondo, I think I looked it up. He's on the back end. He's 30 years old. He shot 29% of career from three, so he's not a threat there. But you got Dwayne Wade coming in. If he's able to distribute those balls to those shooters, then it's not going to reflect on him. If he pushes the ball off the court and distributes, then he's done what he's needed to do. He's filled his role with that team. And like you said, if he's a little bit more of a shooting threat, then it's all the more help to that team, and it's only going to make them better.
Well, and you brought up Rajon Rondo, and like I was saying before, Rajon is a guy that, you know, he's tried to develop his jump shot. Really, the Rajon Rondo Tum-Tum Nairn comparisons are fairly decent, I feel like. Tum-Tum's a little more undersized. Rajon's got a famous wingspan for a point guard, but the way that neither can shoot, both have tried to work on it, but both also made their mark defensively. And that's something where Valentine's going to have to evolve as well as a player. You saw him a few times last night struggling to contain Timberwolves players. Tyus Jones was unguardable no matter who you put on him, as you saw in that three-point shot when he was double-teamed, hand in his face, actually a couple. But Xavier Silas, somebody who you wouldn't necessarily know, had a good game last night. Then you also turn it over to Suggs, who for the Timberwolves, also pretty good. And, you know, that's something where we've said before, Denzel Valentine's defense, underrated, maybe still something that might need a little bit of work. But Valentine, for me, it just shows that going into the NBA, this is somebody who carries the same swagger, the same confidence that he's always had going into Michigan State. And I think he's going to make his mark in the NBA. I don't think he's going to be a superstar day one. I think first year, because of all that competition, he could only play 20 minutes a game. But he's going to be a good player. He's a key piece for this Bulls team going forward. And I think he perfectly suits Fred Hoiberg's style because Hoiberg likes to push the ball. But at the same time, they always lack that elite distributor. Derrick Rose certainly wasn't that, nor was Jimmy Butler. Denzel Valentine can be that. That's the role we saw him assume for Michigan State as his career progressed. And Denzel Valentine might lack elite athleticism, but his ability to play in the run-and-gun offense and make the right decision when it's a 3-on-2, that's invaluable for this Bulls team. And similar to a former MSU Spartan, not saying he's as good of one, but Magic Johnson as well, lacked elite speed no matter what, despite the fact that the Bulls played a run-and-gun, up-and-down type offense, but you know, Magic Johnson didn't have too shabby of an NBA career. Not saying that's going to be Denzel. I'm saying it works well in the system. So anyway, folks, that's my thoughts on the matter. 517-355-9527. Whether you want to agree, disagree, call in, give us a chime. 517-355-9527. We're actually going to hit our first break. Coming out of the break, we're going to talk Detroit Tigers taking a 1-0 victory over the Minnesota Twins. Impressive shutout performance, and Justin Upton actually with a homer. Also Draymond Green, and so much more to come. You're listening to Current Sports with your host, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin.
Oh,
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. And we just got done chatting about Denzel Valentine and his couple of buzzer beaters for the Chicago Bulls in the NBA Las Vegas Summer League Championship. Very impressive final stretch for Denzel Valentine, despite a rough outing to start that game. If you've got any thoughts on that, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But that wasn't the only Michigan news last night. It's the Detroit Tigers as well. And, you know, we mentioned yesterday on the show, the Tigers, of course, had a huge walk-off. Congrats to them for that, with Jared Saltalamacchia just plummeting a shot deep into right field. And, boy, it fell like a rock, because it was high up. It was a parabolic function just about, and it just dropped straight into the outfield crowd. And walk-off for the Tigers, maybe a momentum swinger? I said no, but the Tigers looked pretty good yesterday against the Minnesota Twins. Tigers won 1-0, while pitcher Matt Boyd went 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, and really a great outing for the young pitcher. This is only his second season in the league. A lot of times I've actually heard people say it's his rookie season. It isn't. It's his second season. But he looks very good for the Tigers, and they were allowed to sort of do what they wanted with the Twins, which is what you'd expect against a 33-59 team like Minnesota is. But Justin Upton was the sole run of the game for the Tigers. His 200th homer in his career, and actually following a little stint away from the team for bereavement leave. And I think that homer might have been inspired by something a little bit more for Justin Upton. It was nice to see him go onto the field, play very well upon his return for this team, and 2 hits and 3 at-bats, and of course the big homer that won this team the league, or the game rather. And they're going to need him to use this as motivation and use this start after the All-Star game as a starting block and keep on going, keep on rising to the occasion like the Tigers thought he would after signing him. Because Upton, as great as this game was for him, 2 hits, 3 at-bats, a homer to win it in the bottom of the second, I mean, he still is at batting .236 on the season. And yeah, that can't stand for this Detroit Tigers team if they've got any aspirations whatsoever of making and competing in the postseason. So between Boyd and Upton, though, the Tigers found a way and mustered a win, and it was really good to see the bullpen as well go out there. Justin Wilson hit the mound, 1 inning pitched, nothing going on whatsoever for the Minnesota Twins. 0 hits, 0 earned runs, 0 walks, perfect outing for Wilson. Shane Green then took the mound. 2 strikeouts in his inning of work. A nice day at the office for him. 25 pitches at Shane Green, and then 18 pitches for Justin Wilson. Then Francisco Rodriguez, who is tied, actually, wonder with this save if he might have moved in to the lead for AL saves. But he was tied at 2nd, 4 saves, and now has 26 in the American League. Had 1 walk, 1 strikeout, again, no hits. A 3-hitter combined for the Detroit Tigers, all on the shoulders of Matt Boyd, who took the mound and was very impressive. And, you know, for the Tigers, we talked about this yesterday, it all comes down to the young, inexperienced greenhorns who take the pitching mound and, you know, get up on the dirt and just do their work. And that's Michael Fulmer and Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd also had an impressive start to the season, or at least better than many of the Tigers pitchers. You haven't heard his name quite as much recently just because the Tigers, you haven't heard quite as much about the pitching staff in general. Michael Fulmer is a mainstay in that squad as a consistent, reliable starter. He's their ace right now. But Jordan Zimmermann fell off, also had some injury problems. Justin Verlander, been nice and consistently good. Still not the JV of old, but looking good, and you'll take that. Matt Boyd started off the season strong. Currently, he's at a 4.91 ERA, 1-2, 34 strikeouts, with a 1.31 whip. So Matt Boyd, pretty good last night, and the Tigers also pretty good. This is a series that they should sweep. They're at home. They're against one of the worst teams in the entire association of Major League Baseball, and they're 26-17 at home. The Tigers are actually riding quite a win streak there after taking 2 of 3 against the Royals, and now, of course, they face the Twins with a great chance to extend what they've been doing recently. The Detroit Tigers, just about keeping it up, getting all the bats to collide at the same time with the ball. One run is fine. Actually, no, it's not. One run's not going to do it against anybody except for the Twins, except against somebody who only has one batter above 300. That's what the Tigers need to work on, just pairing pitching and batting together, finding a way to make it work. And you know what? At least right now, it seems to be in a pretty good groove for this team, and hopefully the Detroit Tigers can keep it going. Now to our next story of the day, Draymond Green back in the news for making a few quotes which raised some eyebrows. And Draymond Green, of course, was recently arrested in East Lansing, Michigan, and reprimanded for slapping now former Michigan State football player and cornerback Jermaine Edmondson. Green got into an altercation with Edmondson out of an East Lansing restaurant, Conrad's, after Edmondson had a night out for his birthday party, and the two had bumped into each other before that night, actually, and Draymond Green didn't say excuse me or something like that to Jermaine Edmondson. They literally bumped into each other, and Edmondson took offense. He talked to Green about it the next day, and supposedly Draymond said, "I pay for bleep like you scholarship," and proceeded to, or that was the night before, but the following night, Green slapped Edmondson in the face. Edmondson was seen in sight by the East Lansing Police Department, who then retained Draymond Green for the night. He paid, I believe, a $200 bail, and Edmondson, who was originally reported not wanting to press charges, has now said that he does want to, and there are suspicious motivations considered by law media for that. I mean, complaints about a headache, things like that from Green slap. So I'll let you all be the decision for that, whether Edmondson's in the right. But the new revelations are Draymond Green's quotes at the Team USA practice. Green said, quote, "Being me has gotten me this far. My attorneys are handling everything. Leave it in their hands, and I got an opportunity to compete for a gold medal. You don't let any type of distraction get in the way of that. This is not about me. It's not about anybody on this team. It's about going out and defending our country the right way. So everything else is kind of secondary to that. Everybody's concerned, but at the end of the day, as a public figure, as a guy that's representing this country, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than anybody on this team. That's just the stuff we have to remember." It's an interesting quote, I think, to say that slapping somebody is bigger than anybody on this team, if that's what he's referring to. Now, as somebody representing the country, of course, the country itself, Team USA basketball, is bigger than Draymond Green as an individual. But for him to pretend, in my opinion, that this incident doesn't really matter, that's not a blight on an otherwise successful career, I think that's a little bit short-sighted. I think Draymond Green, as a representative of his country going abroad, needs to beware of situations like these. Now, whether you think Jermaine Edmondson's making too much of this deal, as he's out of East Lansing already, he's looking for a transfer, that's fine. You're totally entitled to your opinion on that. I'm not disputing that even. What I'm saying is Draymond Green, as a public figure, needs to understand that he does have a role model gig, that he does have a job to embody the principles of what Team USA and what America and what Michigan State, what Golden State, what all of these different organizations and entities that he represents. He's got an obligation to kind of put them on his chest and say, this is me. And when you take it off your chest, put it in your hand, and slap somebody in your face, yeah, that didn't look good for any of those organizations. I'm sure that there were several calls for Draymond Green to be thrown off the squad, which I think are kind of absurd at the end of the day. We're not talking about deflated footballs, thank God, but we are talking about a slap, which isn't all that much better. I mean, it's a slap. It's not even a closed-fist punch, apparently, so yeah. But anyway, Draymond Green is saying my attorneys are handling everything, and he doesn't need this distraction as he goes to compete for a gold medal. You don't need the distraction. Maybe don't get intoxicated and hit somebody in the face. It's just not that hard as a public figure to watch out for that. And Draymond Green needs to know, not only is he a superstar, which adds a little bit of scrutiny to the pot right there, but he's tagged as a dirty player across the NBA currently. We talked about it on the show. Both Al and I did think that the kick or kicks on Steven Adams were intentional. The kick on LeBron James was intentional. Did merit a suspension? That's up to you. I thought it might have. Actually, I thought it did. Just straight out did because of the prior instance. But the fact that Draymond Green did any of these things repeatedly, yes, it makes him a suspect for things like this. And people are quick to jump and say, man, I'm surprised Draymond Green didn't kick him. But now all of this just goes along with Draymond Green's image as a dirty player, somebody who's kind of violent. And the media, whoever's reporting, wants to see this on and off the court. You look at the example I brought up, which is Jahlil Okafor, 76ers rookie last year, who got into multiple bar fights as a 19-year-old. But Jahlil was in the media, but he didn't face half of the harsh reviews that Draymond Green did because Jahlil Okafor is not necessarily recognized as a dirty player. Draymond Green is. Draymond Green has a very volatile personality, while Okafor's rather quiet. And you know what? You can't really compare those. That's absolutely fine for both. But Draymond Green needs to know the spotlights, the cameras, they're always on him. And when he does something like this, it's not just East Lansing, Michigan that hears about. It's the entire U.S. and the entire world. And in doing that, he's representing Team USA. He's representing Michigan State, and he's representing the team that drafted him and gave him the big, juicy contract, and that's the Golden State Warriors. Any thoughts on that? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Want to bring back to the host, engineer Seth Kinker. Seth, what do you make of Draymond Green's latest comments on the matter?
I mean, I agree with him. Like I understand what you're saying, what you just said, but he needs to be smarter, definitely, with the instance he gets himself in. But I don't think he needs to change. That's gotten him to where he is today. And yes, like no question, those were dirty plays, those kicks in the playoffs and things like that. But that mean streak, I mean, Steve Kerr has said it, the team has said it, like it gives them their edge. A team needs that. And while there's no room for that dirty play, that it goes along with being like that persona of the team. He can't just back off from a guy. I know the incident with LeBron was supposedly because LeBron stepped over him and you don't take that where I'm from, something like that to that effect was said by Draymond.
Yeah, but I think it's different on the court and off. For me, Tiger Woods, what messed him over wasn't the fact that he stopped cheating on his wife. That wasn't the issue there. It was that on the court, he was like, I'm going to calm down. My life's too stressful, whatever. I'm not going to throw my clubs anymore. I'm not going to curse, whatever. And that was such a part of his game. I, at least, am not asking Draymond Green to turn it down, tune it down whatsoever on the court. Because you're right. He's an instigator. He gets under the opponent's skin. He's like, you know, a mole, I'm forgetting what it's called. It's a tick.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you guys have those up here, but it's a tick. He gets under your skin, he annoys you, and you've got to really, literally, rub some salt in the wound to get him out. And that's what Draymond Green does. He gets under your skin, he annoys you, And at the end of the day, he's a good player as well. But he knows how to alter the course of a game of any sort of display that he's involved in. But that's one thing on the basketball court. It's another when you're standing outside on East Grand River Avenue chatting
with
someone.
Look at the situation. Okay, so the situation was Jermaine Edmondson got the former Michigan State cornerback, got upset with him for what, not recognizing him? I know there were the two parties involved, maybe a
yes.
girlfriend, some disrespect there. But one of the consistent things that I saw when the story was breaking, that Jermaine Edmondson was upset because Draymond Green didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
And what kind of ego do you have as a player on the football team to say, oh, Draymond Green doesn't recognize me, so I'm going to get upset about it, and maybe it escalated from there?
Well, it did more stem from their interaction the night before, though, where Edmondson felt disrespected by Green calling him out, and then Green also did not even say anything when he bumped into Edmondson again, literally, the night afterwards. And what I think Edmondson's claim is, I'm not saying Edmondson's right, but I'm saying that Draymond Green wasn't pushed. It's one thing to punch back, even the LeBron James kick. I didn't mind it necessarily. I think you've got to have a cooler head, but I understand that. I mean, when somebody steps over me on a basketball court, unfortunately, I'm not Tyronn Lue. That's never happened to me. But I don't, you know, I mean, I wouldn't let that happen either. You'd have to react one way or another, whether that's standing up, going chest to chest with the dude, or whether that's, oh, I wouldn't necessarily kick him in the man area either. But at the same time, you've got to respond somehow. You don't just let somebody disrespect you like that. I understand that. Doesn't sound like Edmondson was disrespecting Green, though. It sounds like Edmondson felt disrespected by Green, and I think that's a big
difference. But to the point where
he
escalated the conflict, where it had been two successive nights, and then it ended up, the second night, obviously, ended up at Conrad's, where the actual assault took place.
Well, but at the same time, Edmondson didn't push him. He didn't lay a hand on Green.
But he must have provoked it. If Green actually assaulted him and slapped him open-handedly, supposedly, according to the police report.
Yep.
Then they must have been chest to chest, close enough where they had been arguing. I know one of the Twitter accounts that had released videos stating on Green's side that had the total video when all the media were breaking the story. And it's them outside of Conrad's, and it's everybody just on their phone kind of recording the situation. But the two are definitely like close to each other. So I just, with Edmondson moving ahead with pushing the charges after initially deciding not to, I think a little bit was more of his pride was hurt.
Well,
that's some of it.
That's totally a fair theory. That's totally understandable. I'm not necessarily defending Edmondson pressing charges in this case, but I'm also saying that throwing the first slap, throwing the first slap is something which, yeah, it awaits a little more judgment than does going chest to chest. Somebody's got to throw the first slap, and just a little hint, kids, if it's you, you're going to get in trouble. Just like Draymond Green did. And then that'll make your parents unhappy, just like it made Team USA and the entire country unhappy with Draymond Green. We're going to hit our second break here at Current Sports. I'm Isaac Constance. I'm your host for the day, filling in for Al Martin, who's back on Friday. After the break, we're going to hit you with Tickled Tuesday. Really funny bite. I can't wait to share with you guys. Coming up after this break, you're listening to WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR AM 870. This is Current Sports with Isaac Constance. I'm your host for the day, filling in for Al Martin, who's out of town in Orlando, enjoying the good weather and a few amusement parks as well. So anyway, we just finished up talking about Draymond Green, Denzel Valentine, and the Detroit Tigers, all things in recent news covered there. And actually, I'd like to take this time, too, to preface our conversations for the following 2 days. I'm very excited for some guests we've got coming on the show. On Wednesday, we've got a big one. Y'all all know Kay Felder, the NBA star who the Cleveland Cavaliers paid $2.4 million for. And, you know, he's lighting it up in the league. His coach in college, Greg Campy, who's done a great job in general, not just with Felder, but with that entire Oakland program, turning them into a mid-major threat, as Michigan State fans will know better than anybody. We'll be on the show tomorrow right at 1:30. Talk about Kay Felder, talk about some incoming transfers and his season for the upcoming year, in addition to his work to combat cancer. Very important topic right there, and something he's been very dedicated through throughout his life and throughout his tenure at Oakland University. Then on Thursday, we've got Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune calling in, and he's going to let us in on what Denzel Valentine is doing with the Chicago Bulls and what his role looks like in the future. He's also going to fill us in on everything else NBA. The guy's a nut. He knows what he's talking about. Can't wait to talk to him and get his thoughts on what Denzel is going to end up doing this year with the Chicago Bulls. But right now, it is Tuesday, and it's the start of a stressful work week. I know it better than anybody. So we're going to cool it down, you know, put a little ice water on the head and hit you with Tickle Tuesday. Nice and relaxing. Here we go.
Gentlemen, in exactly 5 days, we will be $100 billion richer.
I'm not sure about you guys, but by the 10th or 11th laugh, at first I'm like, oh, this is kind of redundant. But then eventually throughout that thing, man, I start cracking up. I love that intro. But my first Tickle Tuesday for the day is actually DeMarcus Cousins, who's outwardly expressed frustration with his team, the Sacramento Kings, offseason moves. And Boogie's excuse, he tweeted during the draft, I kid you not, Lord give me strength. It's funny. I mean, it's comical. That's good as it is. But DeMarcus Cousins, of course, said he wasn't talking about the draft, even though that tweet perfectly corresponded to the Kings' pick in the NBA draft, but he wasn't talking about that. He just got done with a very intense hot yoga session. Whew! Lord, give me strength. Let my muscles get looser. Let me get a little more athletic. That's what Boogie said. And yeah, I mean, that was funny as it is, but DeMarcus Cousins just came out today again and once again sort of defended his tweet. He said he didn't say that it referred to the draft. He said that it still referred to hot yoga, but he said, I can't control the draft decisions. I can't control the draft decisions. I can control what I control. I don't really understand it, but I do my job. I don't really control or understand what's going on. I just control what I can control. Sounds like a practice ran, a mini one of those. But my number one Tickle Tuesday of this past week actually just came out yesterday. And yeah, you're never going to believe who it is on a rap song. Jim Harbaugh and Bailey. Bailey featuring Jim Harbaugh. Who's got better than us? Let's hear it.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
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 Who got it better? Nobody. To the field from the tailgate party. Let's go blue, yeah, the home team. This the big house, Michigan Wolverines.
If it ain't real, it ain't right. If you can't take a hit, take a hike. The legendary Big Ten champ said right. Bo Schembechler motivated the might. Force so strong, it's on Saturday nights. Howard, Woodson, Brady took it to heights. Let's ball. Hell to the victors, that's above all. I got one question, tell them Harbaugh.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody.
And blue, that's all I say. Roughest team in the B.I.J.
Wolverines.
Block him on the beanie, I'm Bailey. Known for kicking it off like Feely. Follow while I ball like Weber. Rose, Juwan, get the Fab Five together. Go hard or go home. Trying to get to the national ship in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that's Bailey and his song, Who's Got It Better Than Us? Bailey is a San Francisco rapper. Always, obviously, a huge Big Blue fan. And I gotta say, I don't mind the song itself. Even as an MSU student, I think it's pretty funny. I think it's good. I think the guy's flow is pretty decent as well. Al and I are huge rap fans, so I'm interested to get his opinion on that as well. But I love how Jim Harbaugh stays in the news. He just finds a way, finds a method. This guy is never out of contact. It's football off-season. Nothing is going on right now except for recruiting. And this guy is trending across the nation for who's got it better than us or whatever he's saying. And then nobody is the resounding response. But he's driving in a yellow, not sure what it is, but it's a drop top, you know, the roof comes off and Corvette, something like that, with Bailey in the passenger seat. And he's screaming, as you can hear, who's got it better than us? Nobody. And of course, this is going to appeal to recruits. Of course, people are going to be like, look how cool, look how fun Jim Harbaugh is. Even though he's such a strict, serious guy on the field, once he gets off, he does sleepovers with his players, does rap songs with his fans. And you know what? You can't fault the guy for that. He knows exactly what he's doing. Every single part of this is planned. Let me tell you, he wants to stay in the media. He knows, just like a bunch of other great coaches and figures, that any attention is good attention at the end of the day. And with that, we'll leave you. This is your Current Sports, WKAR's Current Sports here on AM 870. I'm Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. He's coming back on Friday from his vacation to Orlando, Florida. Thank you all for listening and spending this hour with us. And we hope you'll turn in tomorrow to hear Greg Campy, Oakland head coach, also join me and talk about his program, what he's doing. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a good one. I'll see you.